continuation of a message that I started last Sunday. If I've ever felt I have a message from God, I believe I have a message from God this morning. I have, you know, people think, well, preachers just, you know, we're just preaching machines and you just flip the switch or turn on the button and there they go. People don't realize all that happens between messages. And I think I've had probably as many diversions, attempted diversions, crazy stuff. And you know what? I had to make a decision to come preach today. I'm going to fret not. I'm going to fret not. I guess the rest of you didn't need that, but I did, okay? What is our first or normal reaction to things? Too many times we're given to fret. And then when I heard this that I just related a moment ago, I said, boy, does that strike home. Because if Satan can just get your attention off the highway straight ahead, you'll be plowing into the ditch or a tree or whatever. The 14th chapter of Luke's gospel. I was here last Sunday morning and I'm here again. And I feel like this is what God is saying to us. The word of God said here in this 14th chapter, in verse 12, then said he to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, your brethren, your kinsmen, your rich neighbors. Do you have any rich neighbors? Lest they also bid thee again, or you get an obligation on that, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor. This is as opposite to reason as it can go. But when you make a feast, or throw a banquet, or throw a party, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Strange invitations. And notice verse 14 said, and thou shalt be blessed. Now, there's many scriptures that tell us how to get blessed. I mean, the Word of God has so many intros on telling us how to be blessed, even going back to Deuteronomy, blessed, the ways we're blessed. But this is a New Testament way to be blessed from the very lips of Jesus. And the reason you'll be blessed is because they cannot repay you or recompense you. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, many invitations, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go to see it. I pray have me excused. Excuse number one. And another said, well, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I don't even know if they can plow. I better go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry. Did you ever hear of God being angry? He does have a temper. Thank you for 3 amens there. Being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. Go out. Go. And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Early this morning, I was already into this message and things that I'll be sharing, but I wrote it down. The Spirit of God, I really believe, spoke to my heart and said, the reason so many people are restless, so many people, well, I don't know what my place is in the body. Well, I just don't know. If I could just get it all together church-wise. The reason so many people are off-center is that they are not witnessing and winning people to Christ. And thus, your attention is all upon you. And we may, it's how I feel. Well, I liked the praise and worship, or I didn't. Or do they have to sing that song? Do they have to get so happy? Or do they have to get so loud? Why can't we have a one-hour service? I'm not being tacky. I'm just saying. It's amazing. As a pastor, the many things, the many radio stations of people that voicing their opinions, so many people really don't know what they want, and they can't get it all figured out, and you can't make everybody happy. But I'll tell you what can make everybody happy, and that is to obey God. And I believe we ought to praise and worship, and I believe we ought to have good preaching, and I believe we ought to have good teaching, and I believe we ought to do good things and help provide food for people that, we do that every week here in this church, and then provide clothing. But there's one thing, and just look at the news. Things have never been crazier in this world system. I reverently say it seems like most people are half nuts that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm not being negative. I just read, But it's time for radical outreach. That's the title of the message today. It's time for radical outreach. It's not a message of condemnation. It's just a message of information. And I started this last Sunday morning by giving at least four of the greatest witnessing accounts in the entire Word of God. It seems like churches ace out in everything except soul winning. There's churches that have fabulous music, whatever that is. They're good at it. There's churches that have a mean machine organization. We're creating a generation of managers, not ministers. Church is a little bit of everything. It's if and when you feel like it, and if you want to do it, and listen to it, or go your way. But, I was reminded of a number of years ago. We started this church to reach people for Jesus, to grow in grace. There were two things that were very much in my heart then, still very much in my heart now. Of course, signs, wonders, and miracles still in my heart. Teaching people the true word of faith, that God said what he meant and he meant what he said. Teaching people about the birds' two wings, faith and grace, both totally necessary. We're all here this morning because of amazing grace. Amen. No matter how little you've sinned or how much you've sinned somewhere in your life, we've all done it. And their sin is always worse than my sin. my sin's not real bad, you know. I didn't really mean anything by it. It just stuff happened, you know. And so, is it faith or is it grace? Or is it loud or is it quiet? Or is it New Testament or is it sedated and high church? You know, what is it all about? Well, after we started our church and we remodeled our first very humble beginning, because that building was in disarray, it had been vacant for a while, and it was not designed to be a church building. And we made it into a very lovely chapel and very lovely building as best we could with what we had at that time. But we weren't winning anybody to Jesus. And I remember I went to a conference, and Tommy Barnett, some of you have heard the name in religious media, whatever, powerful young man of God. I met Tommy when he was 16 years of age. And I wasn't but just a few years older than Tommy. Tommy started preaching when he was 16 years of age. He was preaching youth camps, of all things. Drove a little Ford Falcon, and he was very much in demand across America, in summertime especially, for youth camps. His father was Herschel Barnett, who was the father of the bus ministry birth in America. Herschel Barnett, Kansas City, Kansas. And I knew his cousin, and so we met through that mutual association there. Tommy was, I tell you what, you hear Tommy speak, you want to build something or tear it down, you want to do something. You can't just listen to him. And his father was turned on for God. I forget how many buses they had and how many people they won to the Lord. Powerful church. Tommy was following in his father's footsteps, except he was an evangelist in the beginning days of his ministry. I came back, and you've heard the story how that I bought a bus for $500, and they should have paid us to take it off the school lot out at Lake Worth. And that was the beginning of one of our outreaches. And the story of Tommy Barnett, Tommy came off the field and went to, I believe it was Davenport, Iowa, to a dead church that was just DWD, and they were just ready to close it almost. And they voted Tommy in, and Tommy said, for some reason, everybody said, Tommy, you're crazy. You have a successful evangelistic ministry. There you go. Tommy took that church and built it to be one of the great churches at that time. And then a church in Phoenix, Arizona, that was in about the same situation, called him and voted him in as pastor. And he built a great church there, built a church that was already going, but not much was happening at all. And his son is pastoring that church there today. When I heard that, it just stirred my heart. And I said, God, that's the missing link. We've got to win souls. And some people say, well, is it outreach or is it discipleship? It's both. But you got to catch a fish before you can skin the fish. You can't eat a fish you never caught, unless you bought it at the fish market. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing that I want to bring to us is it's time. I look at the news media. I look at the craziness of our nation. Somebody's got to explode with winning souls. We've got to get the churches back to basics. I'm a signs and wonders. I'm a revival. I'm faith. I'm grace. But you got to catch the fish before you can do anything with the fish. That's just the way it works. Be it a net or be it a hook. And going to the Word of God, you know, really I saw how to stay on fire for God and help build up a New Testament church. John Kennedy, the one thing I remember about that former president, He made a statement that it should have been a church statement. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Don't just be a taker. Don't just come and, what's in it for me, or what can I do, or how can I, And as I looked into the Word of God, I've seen a sign this week, even after last Sunday morning, I've seen a sign of the gospel. Some people say, well, I don't believe in sensationalism. And this soul winning thing, yeah, this just sensationalism. Well, you know, the Word of God said in Acts chapter 17, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither to us also. Now, how are you going to turn the world upside down without radio, television, the media, the printed page, printing presses? How are you going, not the whole world, but the known world to them of that day and time? Obviously, the last one was not saved because Matthew 24 and others tell us that when that last soul is saved, we're out of here. And it could happen while we're in service this morning. Could happen. Amen. Could have happened with our own altar call. It could be happening through a television station over or us or whoever. Whoever gets us out of here, praise be to God. That's what it's all about, right? But I realized that some of the most sensational soul-winning stories in the Bible, we'll just take Zacchaeus. You know, we could have started an up-the-tree ministry. Upthetree.com. We walk around looking up in trees to find short men, to win them to Jesus. Upatree.com. And while the multitude's all around Jesus, he's looking up in a tree. What's with this, Jesus? He's looking up in a tree. And he found what he was looking for. He found a man that was hungry for God. And Zacchaeus was short and he couldn't see Jesus for the press. So he ran ahead of all the crowd, got up in the tree so he could see Jesus. And we have been singing about that in Sunday school and church, children's church for years. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree for Jesus to see. And so up a tree ministry. Jesus called him down out of the tree. And would you believe it? Jesus didn't know he was a sinner. And he said, I'm going home with you. And religious folks just flipped out. They said, first of all, the guy's up in a tree. He's not popular. He's taking advantage of a lot of people financially, even though he's offered to give back manyfold whatever he took. And now he's going home with him. He's going home with him. Jesus goes home with sinners. And he said, this day is salvation. I'm glad he didn't say I'm going to have to be friends with you for 6 months before you can get saved. He said, this day, salvation has come to your house. This day. You know when you need to be saved? When you meet Jesus. When an altar call is given. When someone does an outreach contact. Whenever the gospel comes to you, that's when you need to come to Jesus. Whether you're in a tree or on a housetop. I thought about Jesus, you know, met the woman at the well. And so we could start a womanatthewell.com ministry. And I just can't believe Jesus. I just can't believe him. The disciples going, he sends the disciples away or they go away to get lunch. And Jesus sits there on a well and waits for a woman to come. And he had the audacity to talk to a woman that had had five husbands, and she didn't bother to marry this one. They're just living together. And he sits there at that well and talks to her. And he talked to her so thoroughly that she, and quickly or whatever, she goes into the city, brings people out. WomanAtTheWell.com. Outreach. Interesting, isn't it? And then there was Philip. Philip had a citywide revival in the 8th chapter of Acts. Went down to the city in Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Well, that's wonderful. He went down and there was an anointing of God upon him. And the average person would have said, let's build 3 tabernacles here. But really, Philip could have started a stopachariot.com ministry. He stopped the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. I mean, can you imagine stopping a busy chariot on a freeway and witnessing the man's trying to figure out what the Word of God's saying, and the man of God, all of a sudden, there he is, right there by his chariot. Now, you talk about radical outreach. Well, I don't believe in sensationalism. Well, these folks, Jesus did. He did with Nicodemus. No one ever heard of getting a man out of a tree to get him saved before. I've never read that in the Word of God. No one could have ever believed that Jesus is out there with the woman at the well. Strange situation there, but the Bible said many came out to the Lord. Many came and accepted the Lord. There was Philip. And then, you know, there's Paul's ministry. Over in the Word of God, he was arguing in court. So arguewithajudge.com ministry. That's right. Paul is in court. Well, I'd be embarrassed to ask somebody if they're born again. Well, Paul didn't buy into that. Paul is in court. You don't argue with the judge, honey. I mean, that's not good for time to serve. You understand? I mean, you're going to spend a lot of time where you didn't plan on spending time. Paul is in court, and he's defending Jesus. He's defending the Word of God. He's defending the prophets. And he's in this big debate. And finally, it got so heated and so intense that Agrippa said, whoa, time out, whoa, time out. Paul, stop it, almost. You persuade me. Well, I would never try to persuade someone to accept. It's only heaven or hell. No big deal there, you know. It's only heaven or hell. It's where you're going to spend eternity. What I'm saying here is just the way the Spirit of God just painted it in my mind as I was thinking. Here, Paul arguing Jesus in court. Dear Lord. He's either lost his mind or he's found his mind, one of the two. And so you just look at up a tree ministry. You see the woman at the well ministry. You see Paul arguing Jesus in. Now, I'm not saying that every witness has to be confrontational or that type of thing. You say, well, I just can't bring myself to. Can you order a Starbucks from your car? Can you pull in a Whataburger? Can you communicate with those people you want a hamburger? We got more than a hamburger, honey. We got more than a Starbucks. We got more than a Taco Bell. Got more than an enchilada. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the primary ways to build a New Testament church. And this And I come back to what, and I wrote it down, that this is a time for radical outreach, if it has to be. Let it be calm as long as it can be calm. And I remembered, I ran down to a little stop and go out here off of Meadowbrook one morning. We were out of something. I forget what it was. And I looked like I didn't want to be caught anywhere. My hair was messed up. I just remember I felt, do you ever just, you feel like a mess? God, don't let anybody see me right now. You know, did you ever just feel like that on any given occasion? And I'm in that stop and go, and I'm waiting, and this guy's taking a little time. He got his money. He's ordering breakfast, and with his breakfast, he's ordered chili and onions and something else, and it's running down his beard. He's chewing on part of it while he's paying for it. And I thought, gee whiz, this is worse than me, you know. And just as he's walking out the door, and I'm sitting there like a Pharisee, saying, man, God, look at that running off his chin. You know, his chili off his chin. I see him stepping into a garbage truck. And God said, go witness to that man. Oh, God, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, I knew it was God. It wasn't me. And three times God said, go witness to the man. Well, he's trying to get the truck, his garbage truck started. And he's driving, and he's trying to wipe that off his chin. And the garbage, and I said, he's leaving. God said, get him. I ran and jumped up on the running board of that garbage truck, holding on to the handle. And I said, sir. And he said, yeah. Man, I thought he's going to cold cock me. I would have, you know, that would have been the natural response to someone jumping on your truck and hollering at you through the window. But I witnessed to him and asked him if he knew Jesus. Very strange moment. But you know, there's one thing I had the assurance of. I had finally obeyed God. I mean, what's God going to have to do? Put me in a big fish? You know, like Jonah, what's it going to take for me to obey the Lord? Sometimes we obey him quickly, and sometimes we take our time doing that. But the thing that came to me, you look at these illustrations from the Bible, I mean, it just doesn't get any more radical than calling a man down out of a tree, or sitting at the well with a woman that's had five husbands, very questionable lifestyle, and living with the one she's with, and discussing all this that they were discussing. Or Philip joining himself, stopping the chariot of the second in command of all of Ethiopia and explaining to him the word. Explained it. Man, he must have been a fast talker, because it wasn't long until he said, here's water. Does anything? I mean, he was so thorough, so quickly thorough, he got everything he needed to get started. And Philip baptizes him in water and then disappears on him. Strange happening there. You talk about spectacular. Hey, this is better than science fiction, honey. The Hollywood couldn't come up with one like this, I don't believe. And then you come back to court, and there's Paul arguing with a judge. You don't argue with a judge. My father was an attorney. That's one thing I remember hearing some stories of people. Dad was never one to argue with the judge, but he was an attorney, and so I have a little understanding of courts there. But you know, it comes back to this. Everybody in your life and everybody in my life is going to heaven, or they're going to hell. And as a pastor, I look out. If there was ever a time we needed a gospel explosion, it's now. We need it in Washington. We need it with politicians. We need it in the educational. I mean, there are pockets of good schools still left out there where you do have some Christian teachers and they do the right thing. But man, do I hear some horror stories coming back in of things that our kids are being taught or what they're not being taught in the school system. Then you look everywhere. You look in our own city. And there are forces in our own city that don't even know what bathroom to use. That's Fort Worth. That's hometown. We just don't know today which one we want to use, you know. Leave that one alone. That's crazy. And then you go to football. Good night, you used to be safe from going to football. You know, so what's it all point to? It's time to get back to basics. It's time to get into the Word. It's time to pray. And as a pastor, you know, it's a day of religious entertainment. It's a day of strange systems. In part of my medical, when I had surgery, just out of curiosity, I talked to a little nurse, and she said she was born again, and I believe she was. And she attended a church, and I thought, well, she didn't know I was a preacher. And I said, well, how could I attend your church? And she said, well, it's not like that. And it was a formula. It's some kind of a gimmickry. Don't ask me to explain it. I mean, I approached it from every way I knew how to approach it. It's if you get the right number, you might meet someone that gets you into, I don't know what kind of game they're playing. I mean, there's just all kind of crazy things that are, whatever happened, just coming together and singing, praising God, hearing the Word of God preached, winning souls, going in outreach, helping people that need clothing and food, just doing the work of God. It's a different hour. But you know, it still comes back to this. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm not trying to preach a message this morning. I'm just trying to deliver a message. I'm a messenger. Think of it. Those that have turned the world upside down are come hither to us also. Boy, did they get busy with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus did some strange things in witnessing. Paul did some strange things in witnessing. And again, I've heard two or three believers say, well, I just couldn't bring myself to talk to anybody about Jesus. Well, you can talk to them about buying a car. You can talk to Whataburger about getting a hamburger. You at least could give a track. Do something, lest you do nothing. It's not condemnation, no condemnation. I'm just saying, however God can use you or however you feel God would use you, we've got to get our focus back on winning people to witness, win, and bring them in. Amen. This church, from its very beginning, God has blessed us through different outreach efforts. And that's not all we do. Dear God, my feet are planted in word of faith. Thank God for faith and grace. Thank God for signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm a revivalist at heart. I mean, it's all of it. But you got to catch a fish before you can do anything with the fish. Amen. Praise God. You know, downtown, you know, when they started building all those things around that Firestone, I was just ecstatic. I thought, praise God, we got a fertile field right here on our doorstep. But when it was all built, they all had gates, security gates. You couldn't get in. You couldn't go knock a door like you used to. So you got to go where people are, and people still are somewhere. I mean, you can't get through a gate. You might through mail or whatever. But I mean, it really was. It frustrated me greatly frustrated me. I just thought God put a whole thing right here on our doorstep, but you couldn't get to them. It was there, but we couldn't get to them. But you know, people are somewhere, and crowds are somewhere, and you can even go downtown Fort Worth. There may be someone that doesn't want you to do that, but they didn't want, that judge was frustrated. Do you realize that judge was tweaked. Paul, almost you persuade me. Get off of it, man. I'm almost ready to become a Christian. Almost. Persuade. You talk about leaning on somebody. Paul was leaning. He said, another case, Paul, much learning has made you mad. Made you mad. Well, whatever they want to say, one day they'll say, God bless you if you led them to Jesus. One day when you see them in heaven, they'll say, oh, thank God you took time to talk to me. And you know, we have this soul-winning script, and we have enough for everyone that would want them. In fact, I'd like to just encourage everyone that would to get one before you. Now, there is no condemnation. I'm fishing this morning. I'm fishing, and I know that's what you got to do to catch fish. I'm fishing. I'm reaching out saying, God, help us all to catch a new vision. Help us all to be energized in what it's all about. Your precious family is going to heaven or hell. Oh, no, 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 not my favorite auntie, not my uncle. So, yeah, they are. And the Spirit of God works so often to prompt us to bring people's names to us and say, just call them or write them a card. We're in the season. We are in the season, one of the greatest potential soul-winning seasons of the year. To write someone a card and say, heaven would not be heaven without you. If you can't reach them any other way, then go to them and talk to them. If you can do that, do that. Do something lest you do nothing. But let people know, I love you. I'm praying for you. And get the plan of salvation to them. You know, Brother Dan said something the other night that I thought was cute. I like little things that rhyme and little things that flow. You know, Jesus met the woman at the well. I just got through ministering about that, right? That's in John, the 4th chapter. Well, Pastor Bob Nichols met the woman at the Shell. Come here, girl. Come here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How you doing, girl?
I am so blessed.
You're blessed?
I am blessed.
Well, just turn around and let these people see you smile. But you haven't always been so blessed, right?
But I am now. I am now because I have Jesus.
Yeah.
And I allow Jesus to change me. And I am so free because of you coming in that shell. When I was bound on drugs, when I was bound and lost on alcohol, and I was a, if you don't mind, Pastor, yeah. Let me take it.
You got it.
When Pastor came, I was a drug dealer. I was a drug trafficker. I went to prison. I was in and out of jail. And I know that there was going to be a moment where God was going to allow for me to speak. And there's going to be a lot of people in here that are battling with that, that have been just on drugs, have just lived. I've lived in the streets. I was running the streets of Eastside. I was all over here. But God never left me. I'll tell you that. God never left me. Even though I was running the streets, even though I was getting high, even though I was doing everything that I was doing, God never left me. He always brought me somebody from Calvary. After I met Pastor Bob, he always brought me somebody from Calvary. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he never left me. But He did what he did with Pastor Bob because I had no trust in pastors. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know how to walk this walk with God. And because all my life, my family, I mean, everybody was always, you know, not serving the Lord. And I asked the Lord, you know, I was like, well, I don't trust the pastors because they take your money. Why do they always take an offering? It's really what I thought. I thought that they rob us for, you know, to get rich, to have a nice car, a nice home. And, you know, I was like, what is this 10%? What is this offering? You know, I just really thought they were just taking from you. And that day that he came in the shell, I knew he was the pastor here. And I had asked him to pray for me because I was selling a Cadillac. I had two vehicles. And the other one I had let somebody borrow, and then I had this Cadillac. And I wanted to sell it. You know, it's so funny that, you know, the Lord gave me revelation, and as I was sitting there about the how he came to the woman at the well, right? And he had reminded me that when I met you, I was in a relationship with a man. I was in an adultery relationship. So that right there showed me, I was like, wow, how he had just put that together. The woman at the well and the woman at the shell. I was like, wow, revelation. Thank God for revelation. But, you know, I just thank God because that day he came in there, I was really just needing, I was barely trying heroin. I was just really lost, and I was trying to come. I used to come in and out. I would come in and out. Y'all wouldn't notice me because I would sit close to the door because as soon as service was over, I was out. I did not want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to meet nobody. I was just like, I'm out. I checked in God, and I'm out. I'm going back to go get high, and I was ready to leave. I mean, I was always like, man, Catholics only do an hour. Like, this is a long service. But, you know, seeds that were being planted in me. And I thank God for that, you know. But that day he went in there, I was not in need. I was not. I was in need of God. I was in need of my salvation. I was in need of Jesus. But Pastor Bob went in there, and I remember I had a long line. And he came in there, and I even took off thinking, I was like, just forget about work. I'm like, you're the pastor from over there, aren't you? And he's like, yes, I am. I was like, you're Pastor Bob Nichols. He goes, yes, I am. I said, will you pray for me? So I moved to the side, to the very end of the side, and left everybody there in line at the checkout. And I went and I asked him for prayer, and he prayed for me. And then he left. Then I seen him come back, and I was like, okay, he's coming back. Maybe he forgot something. And he did, because he was being obedient to the Lord. So he came back in, and he blessed me with $100. But that right there opened that door for me to trust him. Trust him as a pastor. Trust this home and everybody in here. You know, so as time went by, I didn't get, you know, saved. I wish I would have that time. At that time, would have just came and turned my life around. But there was more stuff that I had to go through. But I thank God now because it's my testimony. So I can reach y'all, some of y'all that are in here that didn't come up here at that altar call. But it's not too late. It's not too late to give your life to the Lord. Because today is the day of salvation. And if he did it for me and he pulled me out of the streets, if he pulled me out of the whole system of the law, because I used to have so much running from the law. I mean, even when I got saved, I was still like, I still had things that I had to get fixed. And a lot of it I had to pay back. A lot of it I got wiped away. Cases that actually I could have been in prison for, but got wiped away when I came to the Lord. So if there's somebody in here that has a case that you're thinking that God can't work on, oh, yes, he can. Because with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And if you're here and you're thinking, oh, well, I can't get rid of this addiction. I can't get rid of this. Oh, yes, you can. Because with God, all things are possible. And I am the living testimony of that. Praise God. Hallelujah.
And you did Bible college?
Came, I did, yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Oh, let me take this back. And yes, so I have my teachers here, Janet and David. They were so awesome because when I joined it, the first year I allowed Satan to take that from me because I didn't know how to read and write. And I was so afraid to go, and I was like, well, I'm not going to pass it, or why am I going to do this? I really want to do it, but I don't know how to read and write. I didn't grow up in school, you know. I grew up more in the streets. So I was like, oh, am I going to do it? And I remember talking to them, and, you know, and I did struggle. There was times I was even getting delivered in there where, like, I could feel those demons still just, like, you need to get out of this, and you need to go. And I would walk. There was like a little wall, and I remember walking in a circle. Miss Janet came up to me, and she goes, are you okay? And I was like, I just feel like they're telling me to go. But I had to just, they didn't want to disturb the class, so I went over here. And then I was like, but I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave. So those 2 years, okay, let me tell you, by faith, okay, because I jumped in there. I didn't have a car. I was living with my sister, okay? I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything. Everything was given to me by the Lord, even clothes. So I jumped in there in faith, and that's when God put somebody in my life, which was Alma, that paid for my 2 years of Bible college, and it got paid in full. So praise God for that. Yes. And the Lord now, I mean, yes, I was here with the choir, and I love y'all. I miss y'all so much. Thank y'all for always being there. Even when I missed the mark and I would just get up, repent, dust myself off, pick up my head, and keep on praising God up there. You know, I thank y'all all. And y'all always encourage me back home. And the Lord did call me to Houston. And at first, I didn't want to be there because I didn't know what God was doing. But the Lord showed me that they were missing outreach. So now I'm starting the outreach there. So that's where I'm at. But I never forget Calvary. And I always come. When I am here in Fort Worth, I'm always here visiting. This is where I come. So thank y'all.
Veronica, would you pray for all of us that God helps all of us to just have a new fire.
Amen.
To reach,
yes,
precious people just like,
yes,
yourself. God didn't give up on you. God didn't quit.
Yes, sir, he
did. Just look what all God has done for you.
Amen.
Really, the testimony today is the essence of, I guess, what I've been trying to say. We got to get out of the box. We got to get out of the box. Amen. Some people say, well, it's all out of church. No, no. There's such a value in our own company. There's such a value in coming together. And we're even in a day when so many people don't have a clue where their own company is, but there's such a value in being faithful and having a place. Would you pray for all of us just for a new fire?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, and we just thank you for today, Father God. We thank you for what you're going to do today, Father God. But I just thank you, Father God, for foremost, Father God, for this house, Father God. I thank you for this home, Father God. I thank you for pastor, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for each and every member here, Father God, every visitor here, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you will break the yoke, Father God, of every person, Father God, that is bound right now. And I speak to you right now to get off of them and get out in the name of Jesus. I command you right now in the name of Jesus to leave them now in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Father God, for their true freedom, Father God, today, Father God, their true freedom, Father God, that it's not too late, Father God. It's never too late as long as they're breathing, Father God. I just thank you, Father God. I thank you for this house, Father God. I thank you that you will touch each and every person, Father God, with your fire, Father God. I speak fire upon them right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, for new fresh anointing, Father God, upon this house, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that the fire just comes down, Father God, from heaven, Father God. Now, Father God, you said, Father God, As it is in heaven, Father God, it shall be done here on earth, Father God. We're not going to wait until we get to heaven, Father God. We want heaven here now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. So I just thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for that fire, Father God. I thank you, Father God, even for the people, Father God, that have been sitting here, Father God, been sitting here for 10, 20 years, Father God, and has allowed for their fire to burn off, Father God. I just say, wake up right now. Wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I say fire, fuego, fuego, fuego de Dios, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Fuego de Dios, coranda da shira da da da, coranda, hira da 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 da, shira da coranda, hira da 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 da. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Right now, in the name of Jesus, if you have lost the passion to win the lost, I command you right now to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just thank you for a holy boldness upon them right now, Father God, to win the lost, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that this house will be filled, Father God. They will have an overflow, Father God. That even, Father God, the people that are sitting at the front, Father God, will have to make room, Father God, for the new, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, they're not just going to come. They're going to stay, Father God. They're going to stay, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that you continue blessing this house, Father God. I thank you for each and every person here, Father God. Every bill paid, Father God, that they are debt free, Father God. That money comes to them from the northeast, south, and the west, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for their whole house is safe, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. I stand in agreement for each and every person here, Father God, for every prayer, Father God, for every breakthrough, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, that today is their breakthrough, Father God. Right now, Father God, they don't have to wait, Father God. It is now, Father God. So I just thank you, Father God, for their breakthrough. I thank you for their prayer being answered right now, Father God. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We just give you all the praise, Father God. We give you all the praise, all the glory, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that these people will leave here and they will never be the same again, Father God. They will never be the same again, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for new fire upon each and every person here. I thank you, Father God, that people are even getting healed right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak to your bodies healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Healed. New body parts. I see new body parts. Whoever needs that body part, grab it. Grab it. Grab it, because heaven will close if you will not grab it. So grab it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for this house, Father God. I thank you for their deliverance, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for their true freedom, Father God. Just like you did it for me, Father God, you're going to do it for them. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo!
She's here for the holidays in Houston. She really needs a car. And she's just doing what she's doing by faith. And so, I'm so glad to see that basket there. I'll tell you two things I'd like for us to do. I'd like, ushers, do you have some of the scripts? I would like an usher, ushers across, or staff, help me, staff. I want to make the script available to everyone. Take it and pray over it. That's all I'm asking you to do. Take it and pray over it. Just take it and pray over it. And take it, and I believe God's going to bring someone. God's going to bring someone.